Hello and welcome to Healing From Within. I am your host, Cheryl Glick, Reiki Empathic Master Teacher Medium and author of the last book in a trilogy, A New Life Awaits, Spirit Guided Insights to Support Global Awakening, which explores a remembrance, a knowingness of higher consciousness, transformation to higher levels of functioning, for personally and collectively, and for transcendence, or knowing that our soul energy is eternal and evolving at all levels of being. Today I am delighted and welcome Reverend Stephanie Redfeather, an ordained shamanic minister and author of The Evolutionary Empath, which shares information confirming that being an empath is a real thing. And you are not alone in your experience of the energetic world as you conquer the pitfalls of being an empath and enjoy your gifts to create healthy boundaries for living authentically from your heart or soul center. Hello, Reverend Redfeather, and thank you for joining me to relay your wonderful journey through all aspects of energy healing and the traditions of ancient Peruvian shamans. Yeah. So we're able to merge science and spirituality in a dance of love and true reality. Stephanie, as listeners of Healing From Within are so well aware, my amazing guests and I have traveled the world and beyond in search of truth to our human and divine essence, so we may be able to live a healthy, productive, purposeful, and joyful physical life experience. It is only by understanding the duality of our physical and energetic forces of life that we can move beyond the fear and limitations of societal training to access that wonderful higher consciousness to all dimensions of life, which truly lets us handle challenges in a more loving, accepting way. And in today's episode of Healing From Within, Reverend Redfeather, the founder of Blue Star Temple, who holds a degree in mathematics and master's and doctorate degrees in shamanic studies, will share with us her own journey as an empath who has experienced firsthand the challenges of being extremely sensitive to subtle energies and the emotions of others. She will offer suggestions on how to manage life's difficulties as an empath and how these qualities are vitally important to the future of humanity. I always love to ask my guests to think back to their childhood because it's important. We came into this world with a mission. Our soul had a life plan and destiny. And if we remember a person, place, or event which may have shown us or others this life path, then we will understand our adult life and find that we can accomplish all our goals. So think back to that.
Yeah, for me, I had to go through a lot of life experiences to finally get to my quote soul purpose, if you will. I was an Air Force officer for 10 years. You know, you stated I have a math degree, so I have kind of some.
You're a Vitruvian woman. You're very eclectic. That's a great gift to be able to have. I've had like 8 or 9 careers already, and we have been fortunate enough to be able to attend to our interests, because our interests help other people ultimately. So I think that's wonderful. Go on. Tell us more.
Yeah. Well, I was a very creative, intuitive child. My mom said I was always tuned into other people's emotions and feelings. And long before I knew what I was doing, I would crawl up in people's laps or somehow try to make contact with them, trying to harmonize their energies or relieve their pain or somehow support them. And again, this was all happening unconsciously. And so I went to a creative and performing arts school similar to the TV show Fame, for anybody who remembers that. I danced and sang. And yes. So I was in a dance company with the city and all of these things. Fast forward a few years, I get a math degree and go into the Air Force. So clearly there's a period of time in there where I did a 180. I completely was. And I, what, you know, in my, in hindsight and looking at the areas of focus of my sacred work, you know, I work very much with the masculine, feminine energies, with embodiment. I'm very much about experiential teachings. I had to go through those experiences of the opposites, being very much in my feminine energy as a child, and then shoving all of that down underground when I didn't feel safe. And when all of the messages of the world said, you're too sensitive, that's impractical, you're a dreamer, you should do this instead. And so I, you know, twisted myself to be what I thought would make me successful. And then when my spiritual awakening happened, it was kind of the great reckoning of, okay, you've lived sort of half your life in this end of the spectrum, and you've lived half your life in that end of the spectrum. Now it's time to synthesize and bring them both together and become whole.
My life has been exactly the same. 25 years ago, I had a dream. I was sick with the flu, and my grandfather in shadow was standing to the right side of me, and he said to me, you have to write something for your father. And I had no idea what it meant, but the next day I received a call from my mother who told me my father had passed. And I wrote his eulogy. And in his eulogy I wrote how he wore many masks to fulfill the duties and tasks of being a husband, a brother, a father, a friend, a podiatrist. But in actuality, all he was a soul trying to merge his spiritual and physical life together to understand who he was. And, yeah, so that started me on my journey. I was the same way as a child. I just wanted to help people. I wanted them to be happy and joyful. And I cried a lot when I saw how grown-ups behaved, and they were very insensitive. And people, mm-hmm. even when I was a grown-up, even when I was doing this healing work as a Reiki master teacher, people would say to me, you're too sensitive. And I would say, you can never be too sensitive. You can never be too unaware of what's going on around you and with other people. It's a great gift. Mm-hmm. But they didn't understand. So that mm-hmm. leads me to the next question. We are all familiar with the term empathy. But what exactly is an empath?
Mm-hmm. Well, it is derived, of course, from the word empathy. They have the same foundation. But, you know, when I sat down to write this book, my spirit guides gave me only one directive, and that was create a definition. Because the term empath has been around in spiritual circles for decades, but nobody has really taken the time to define the term, to get granular, if you will. And so in my book, I actually spend a couple chapters doing that. And so there's multiple aspects to the definition. And one of the major chunks of the definition that I think is easiest for people to connect with are the five qualities of an empath. And so I'll share what those are. The first quality of an empath is our ability to merge with and absorb the energy of other beings. So that's people, animals, anything with life force. And it stems from a very open personal energy field. This is also the quality that causes us to unconsciously take on other people's emotions and problems and to struggle with boundaries. The second quality is that we have a highly sensitive nervous system. Now, this may sound kind of like, you know, duh, nervous systems are supposed to be sensitive, but...
But we're more so. Yeah, ours is supercharged.
We got a double dose. And so it makes it easy for us to fall into overwhelm and overstimulation. And so extra vigilant self-care is very important for us. The third quality is that we have a great sensitivity to the energies around us and an ability to perceive or access subtle information stored in the energy fields of all types of life forms. So there's a whole list of qualities that are a subset of this. So people that are able to see apparitions or angels or can see the dead or have paranormal experiences or are animal communicators or can access the Akashic records, people who are mediums or incredibly intuitive or medical intuitives or energy healers, you know, we're all using our ability to perceive those subtle fields and dimensions of information. The fourth quality of an empath is the premium that we place on peace and harmony, and that's in our relationships, our environment, our own energy field. And so when we live in the unconscious aspect of this, meaning we don't know we're an empath, we tend to be a doormat. We tend to not stand up for ourselves and, you know, let everybody else's priorities and decisions take over. Our fifth and final quality is the big open heart that we have and a desire to serve others. And so this often inclines us towards careers focused on service. You know, like so many people in my tribe are massage therapists, energy healers, nurses, hospice workers, therapists. Yeah, but, you know, I mean, I was in the military. So there's clearly empaths that are bankers and engineers and computer programmers and, you know, military members and that sort of thing. And this quality, if we're not careful, can cause us to overgive and put ourselves last on the list. And so one thing I want to say about those five qualities is you don't have to peg all five of them to be an empath. All of these things are on a spectrum. And, you know,
Well, I'm sure you have all five. I have all five. But I want to tell you one thing. Mm-hmm. I feel some empaths are like spiritual warriors. We are here to stand up to a lot of the injustice that other people, you know, must deal with and be wounded by. And I have never allowed anybody to make me a doormat, or I would never back down from my truth. I remember one time I was in the gifted class. I was in junior high school, and I went into the bathroom, and there were a group of girls. They were sort of like mischievous girls, I'm going to call them, and I was a studious girl, and they were smoking, and they got very angry that I saw them. And they came over and pushed me against the wall. And there were three of them. And I just said, you know, you're wearing some fantastic shoes. Where did you get those shoes? They were pointy shoes. Mm-hmm. They're nothing I would have worn. But, but the girl looked at me because I had seen something good about her or beautiful about her. And she let me go. So there have been many stories like that. And I also want to tell you something. There are always new things happening to us as empaths. I haven't seen my family because of the coronavirus for the last 3.5 months. So last Sunday I was at my daughter's house, and I got to see my four granddaughters. And there's a little dog, Rocky. And when he was little, he was frightened, and I gave him Reiki to calm him. And he's never forgotten it. Now, he hasn't seen me in a long time. He came over. We were sitting outside. And he put his two paws on top of my feet and was trying to make a connection, like you would hold someone's hands, mm-hmm. and be so grateful that they're there. Or maybe he was saying to me, yeah, I haven't been here in a long time. Maybe you're going to take me home with you. I don't know. But it was very heartwarming, and everybody noticed it. So there are always new things happening to us as empaths and ways that we can delight in some of the challenges we have had as a result of this sensitivity. But you also go on to describe something about the human imprint and what's happening now and why there are so many empaths being born in the new generation and why some of us, like you and I, have been put here a little earlier to help those new empaths, to help bring the changes that have to happen in our evolving humanity. So tell us about the human imprint.
The new human blueprint is how I refer to it. And one of the things that I bring in this book that I haven't really seen in other books on the same subject is the big picture context of how empaths fit into the current stage of human consciousness, if you will, in our evolutionary process. And so humanity, our consciousness, if you will, goes in a vast cycle of time called the Great Year. So for half of that period of time, humanity is ascending in consciousness. For half of that period of time, we're descending in consciousness. If you're familiar with the Greek ages, the Iron Age, Bronze Age, Silver Age, Golden Age, that's what we're talking about, the Golden Age of Enlightenment. Well, we are on the upswing. We are out of the Iron Age. We are just a few hundred years into the Bronze Age. And so time is speeding up. Our vibration is collectively raising. New light codes are being activated and turned on. And I like to think that as empaths, we are where humanity is headed. We're the new human blueprint in that some number of hundreds or thousands of years from now, empath won't even be a word because it'll just be the way we are. That we'll all have these sensitivities. We'll all have these abilities to tune into subtle energies and communicate in this way. And so I believe that empaths are here because we have a cosmic mission to help humanity ascend to the next level of consciousness.
I
And
feel also, as a collective humanity, I like to think in terms of the chakras, the seven main chakras or energy vortex or points, which include our physical, emotional, and spiritual realities. So we're sort of moving out of the consciousness of the lower three chakras, which anchor us only to the physical reality, and rising into the next one, which is the fourth chakra, the heart or soul consciousness. And we are moving past the three-dimensional world of materialism and believing that the outside world determines everything that is right and good for us and important for us, and living more within the healing aspects of our subconscious or inner wisdom or connection to universal source or the divine or God or whatever one conceives to be bigger than our physical life at the moment. So, this is all happening, and you wrote this in reality, in connection to this, you wrote this. There are many institutions, structures, and belief systems in our society that seem hostile towards our sensitive empathic qualities. We have become masters at wearing masks and pretending. We were talking about that at the beginning about my father. And while we might be in the minority in the physical world, it is essential to remember that being an empath is actual our natural state of being. In spirit form, the human constructs of division, separateness, and the need for protection, they don't exist. We all feel and sense everything in the realm of spirit, although our experiences of feeling manifest differently in that form. In the spirit world, we are highly attuned to the fact that we are all one.
And that is one of the reasons it can be so confounding to be on this planet, because there's a part of our inherent soul memory that resides in our physical body that remembers that oneness and remembers how we are and how we interact with one another in spirit form. And then we get down here in a body and we're like, boundaries, and we're separate and we're different and distinct. It can be sort of maddening to navigate that.
It's painful, actually. It is painful to have that separation and division because it's not natural for the energy of our soul being. And it's happening now in every group that you see that thinks their reality is where we must all try to go. But we all need to know that as we're one humanity, we don't need these groups and separations and differences. We can allow them to help us remember that we need to come together more. You know, I was in a meditation about 6 months ago, and I became aware at the present time there are over 500,000 beings of light sent to help our planet and humanity to overcome all the challenges that we're involved in right now. You know, war, disease, racial and religious division, and gender and sexual inequality. And we're going to be asked by spirit, by these people helping us, these souls of light, to find clarity, love, and move past judgments and anger to solve the many problems. And there will be, well, I gathered from the visions that I saw, that there will be many miracles. And as we have so many spiritual-minded souls, as well as empaths, we will be aligned to groups bringing people together rather than seeking division and separation. And my new book, A New Life Awaits, is about that. We must believe more and more people will be made spiritually aware through their personal experiences, through world events, and little by little, step by step, God will awaken the present-day group of mortals to the reality of the next dimension that you talk about and where we're going and our purpose for life on Earth. And Spirit's going to begin with the children and lift them up to hold their own sense of goodness and help the elders to be more aligned to their own innocence. And it's happening, even amidst the terrible things that we're seeing, that I'm sure you cry when you see, because I cry when I see. I can't turn that off, but I know ultimately it is necessary for us to go towards a cycle of ascension. And you talk about this cycle of ascension. So please tell us something about that. Mm-hmm. You were talking about the Bronze Age, mm-hmm. silver and golden. Yes. But there was also you also talk about another cycle of yugas.
Yeah. Well, there's one chapter in my book that's a little science-y because I do like to get my geek on. But I tried to make it accessible, and then at the end I summarize it for those whose eyes cross when they read those sorts of things. But it's very interesting. There are over 30 ancient cultures that have documented this grand cycle of time that I'm speaking about, the great year. It is a 24,000 year cycle. There are some who say it's 26,000. There's reasons for the discrepancy, so whichever model you subscribe to is fine. But like I said, for half of that period of time, we're ascending in consciousness. Half of that time, we are descending in consciousness. And so the ancient Indian culture divided these periods of time into what they call the yugas. So there's the Kali Yuga, Dwapara Yuga, Treta Yuga, and Satya Yuga. And those align precisely with the Greeks' version of breaking down this cycle, so the iron, bronze, silver, and golden age. And so, one of the things that happens as we lower in consciousness and vibration is we become more ignorant, we become more fearful and separated. And so all of the ways in which we have housed or recorded our sacred knowledge, a lot of times those things get destroyed. Things that used to be held sacred are now feared or misunderstood. And so there's no one document that can point to that says this is precisely exactly where we are in the cycle. But there are ancient wisdom texts that do remain. And so most Hindu scholars and people that study this generally place us at roughly the same time. And all of them agree that we are in the upswing.
Yes, and as we moved into the new age of Aquarius, or the age of collectiveness and authoritarian behavior, We're also observing the opposite side of Leo, which is megalomania, and that's why there's so much confusion going on and negativity as we're trying to be collectively assured of what is right and good for all of us. So there is certain behavior that is better for us to align to, and some that is just craziness.
Well, and all archetypes have their healthy expression and their
Right.
unhealthy expression. So
Right.
as you look at Aquarius and its opposite in the cycle, which is Leo, there are, the healthy, positive, if you will, qualities and the unhealthy qualities. So it's a matter of trying to consciously align yourself with the higher vibrating ones while also recognizing the shadow piece so that you can recognize if it's showing up in your own personal life so that you can make choices about how you want to deal with that.
Stephanie, there's so much in your book, so much wisdom about the life of an empath, a sensitive, someone who chose to come into this life to serve and to help those who haven't developed to this level of understanding yet. But what would you like readers to take away with them after reading this book?
Well, it's the reason that I broke it into two parts. So what I would want readers to take away is, first of all, the bigger picture context we've been talking about, so that, when you can locate yourself inside of this bigger context, it can help you understand why you're here and feel more connected to your purpose and mission and have that sort of internal motivation and inspiration. The second piece is, which is the second half of the book, is all the practical, rubber meets the road, everyday tools for thriving in a body as a sensitive soul. And so, doing energy management practices, energy hygiene on a daily basis, managing your boundaries, understanding what they are, those things are critical for us in human form so that we can locate and maintain our groundedness in our own center, because it's easy for us to abdicate our own throne and go drop an anchor in another human being, because that's our gift is to merge and blend with other people. It is challenging for us to stay centered in our own selves. And so those tools are an important piece for being a thriving empath.
Yeah, we're here to learn more about energy, our soul and our physical energy. So I want to thank you, Reverend Stephanie Redfeather, as one empath to another, for sharing a very complete and comprehensive look at the pain, power, and great path of empaths, who are the way showers for the evolution we are all experiencing at this crossroad, and a leap to higher consciousness and self-awareness as both a soul and physical being. To learn more about the life of an energy healer, an empath, who offers the blueprint for how humanity will be in the near future, go to bluestartemple.org. In summarizing today's episode of Healing from Within, we have shared the true definition, scope, and necessary reality of all those souls who have chosen, and I emphasize chosen, nothing in our life is random. Every empath has chosen the sensitive lifestyle and life path of an empath, many of whom find great joy and gratitude for their original soul decision to have entered this life with these gifts at this time, where all seems to be cascading into decline, but is actually moving past the limitations of a worn-out three-dimensional reality to birth the pathway for all humanity to embrace empathic qualities. Reverend Redfeather wrote, "An empath is a person who chose at a soul level to incarnate with a specific set of qualities, expressing in various degrees an open energy field, a highly sensitive nervous system, the ability to receive subtle energies, the strong need to create peace and harmony, and a deep desire to be of service. The unique challenges that these qualities present were accepted by the soul to serve their highest growth and to serve the planet by anchoring the new human blueprint and fourth chakra heart consciousness during this early period of ascension. Stephanie and I would encourage all empaths and those moving towards embracing these qualities of light to call on spirit and our helpers in the realm of eternal life to support us and to boldly walk with us with courage and love as we continue to accept the beauty of our purpose and bring it forth into the physical realm as we promised to do long before this specific lifetime. I am Cheryl Glick, host of Healing From Within and author of A New Life Awaits. Please visit my website, CherylGlick.com, to listen to and read about visionaries, energy healers, leaders, spiritualists, scientists, medical professionals, and those who simply love life and share their hopes for an uplifted new humanity. Shows may also be heard on DreamVision7Radio.com and WebTalkRadio.net. Thank you for listening.